Welcome to episode 401 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is a show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. Josh, happy hay fever season.
Not feeling so great over there?
Oh, geez. I think everything is starting to bloom. I'd like, you know, first day of spring, it's like everything, boom, in the last week.
That stinks. Fortunately, I've been kind of lucky in my life. I don't greatly suffer from allergies all that badly. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel very fortunate in that regard. Anyway, we should probably get going, especially since we took a week off. And this time, again, it was my fault. I was on vacation. I was where it was warm. I was in the desert of Phoenix, Arizona. It was so, so nice out there. It was great.
Warm and dry. And you know what? There's nothing really blooming there that I'm allergic to. I breathe so well in that state. I can't even begin to tell you.
Yeah, that's one reason why a lot of people move there. So that's as good a reason as any, I suppose. But I'm back now. And, you know, I was a little disappointed, of course, not to be able to do a show last week. It's always sad to take a week off. I love doing the show. I love hanging out with you and just talking tech for an hour. But we didn't really miss much last week. As we're in this run-up to the release of the creator's update of Windows 10, there's not really been a whole lot of news because there's not new features there. We're also kind of running up to the Xbox E3 announcement and potentially an announcement of the Scorpio that could be a separate announcement prior to E3. I really think that's going to happen. So not even a ton of news out of Xbox. So we didn't really miss a ton, but we've got some interesting things to talk about tonight. Unfortunately, one thing that we don't have to talk about is listener feedback. Nothing. Nothing at all. So if you guys want to shoot us a message for next week, you can do that by shooting us an email. entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com is our email address. And we've got a million other ways for you to contact us that we'll rattle through at the end of the show. So instead, why don't we just jump right into the news? And the first story that I wanted to jump into was something from an article from the number one source for TV reviews, David Katzmeier,
and source for pretty much everything HD. He is the guy at CNET for this.
He absolutely is. And Richard, you and I at Christmas, we both got 4K HDR TVs. Have you been watching much 4K content on yours?
Not a whole lot, but we will talk about one thing that I did get back to because I was kind of missing the fact that I wasn't watching anything specifically in HDR.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I've been having the same problem. Now, frankly, I don't watch a ton of TV anyway, but what I have been watching, it's mostly hockey, but what I have been watching has not been 4K or HDR. So
yeah,
David Katzmeier potentially might have some solutions for people like you and me and other people who haven't had anything to watch. He's got a new article up called 4K Content Guide, What to Watch in 4K and HDR Today. And he goes through and he lists all of the different content sources that you could be getting video from and what you're going to need to enjoy that. So he starts off with, you know, describing like your three main places where you might be able to get or where you're used to getting video content from. And that would be your streaming services, Blu-rays, and cable TV. And the simple answer here is streaming services have 4K. There's 4K Blu-rays. But in terms of cable TV, it's not there yet. And satellite has a little, but not much. And frankly, I always question the quality of Satellite TV.
Exactly. Satellite and cable. I mean, I think if we get to a point where cable is offering 4K content, it's not going to compare even to streaming.
You don't think?
I don't think so. I mean, my cable picture is, in most cases, nowhere near as good as stuff that I watch on Netflix or Amazon.
Mm. That's sad for you. That's really sad.
And
for
I
you.
Have Fios.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
It's just that they compress it so heavily. It's ridiculous.
Right. That's unfortunate. So he then goes on to list, like, okay, so you're probably going to be getting this from streaming or disc. What can you get from the different streaming services, and which services have it? And the big obvious ones are Netflix and Amazon. Hulu has a little. Vudu has some. Google Play Videos, or whatever the heck they call their service with a name that's far too long, has some. But he doesn't just say, okay, these few services have it. He even gives you some examples of some of the things that they have. And he doesn't even just give like one or two examples. You know, he shows Netflix and he says, all of these original series, and there's like 15 of them listed here. Like, there's a yeah. lot of stuff that and they're not even all original series. Like, Better Call Saul is listed in there. The Blacklist is in there in 4K. Yeah. I had no idea.
Even Breaking Bad, which is awesome.
Yeah. I had no idea those are available in 4K on Netflix. Then he, of course, moves on to Amazon, and he gives the pricing for all of this in case you didn't already know how much some of this stuff cost. And with all of the different services out there, no one could blame you for not being able to keep all of the pricing straight here. Of course, on Amazon, you've got, you know, lots of things under Prime, which would be free if you have a Prime subscription. Their originals like Transparent, Mozart in the Jungle, Sneaky Pete, Man in the High Castle. But Orphan Black is in 4K? What?
I am so excited about that. I might have to rewatch some of that.
Now I'm kind of glad that I'm like a season and a half behind on Orphan Black, because now I can watch it in 4K. So that's cool. And I just found that out tonight. Awesome. But they've also got movies that you can rent and buy. That's nothing unusual from Amazon. And, you know, some of these, they're all pretty new. Inferno, Passengers. I really want to see Passengers. I don't know how well it reviewed, but it's sci-fi. It's
terribly.
Oh, really? Have you seen it?
Yeah. No, but it reviewed terribly, and I totally want to see it anyway.
Yeah, I still want to see it. I don't care. It's sci-fi, and it's Jennifer Lawrence. It doesn't seem like it could possibly be that bad. I don't know.
Oh, right. That's who's in it.
Well, I can't remember the guy's name. I asked Jen when we saw a preview for it the other night, and she knew his name. I couldn't remember his name.
Christopher Pine.
That's it. She said Christopher or something else, and then they corrected her. They've also got Better Call Saul, of course. They've also got House of Cards. I always forget that House of Cards is on Amazon. So all of that stuff to rent or buy also. And then, like I said, there's Vudu and other things like that. He also talks about what you're going to need to watch these things. And before we get into 4K Blu-ray, I want to point out, like, Netflix is pretty simple. Like, 4K Netflix is available on your Xbox One S. I think it's available in on the Roku Premier Plus, or whatever the top of the line Roku is. You know, the Nvidia Shield has it in 4K. For Amazon, unfortunately, the Amazon app on Xbox One still doesn't have 4K content yet.
I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, I don't know either, because back at the end of 2016, they accidentally released a version of the app on Xbox One S that supported 4K and HDR. And then they pulled it and sent a message to people saying, you should uninstall this app. It's not going to give you the ideal experience, which is baloney. So I think there's only two ways to watch Amazon 4K content right now, and that would be with Amazon's top tier streaming box, the Fire TV. I can't keep these names straight anymore, but their $100-ish Fire TV box, and the Nvidia Shield, again, recently got the Amazon app update, and it supports 4K also. So that's probably how I'm going to try to watch Passengers sometime soon. That'd be awesome.
One more.
One more?
I can watch it on my LG TV. My LG TV has the 4K app. So some TV devices that are 4K HDR capable probably have the updated app.
Yes. I completely forgot to point that out because I have a Vizio and Vizio doesn't
you're
have
not gonna
apps.
Use the smart TV capabilities even if it had it.
Right, well, I might for Amazon. Only because it's not on the Xbox. But yeah, if you have a new Vizio TV like me, a 2016 model, and well, I guess I can't say or newer because the 2017s aren't out yet, they don't have any apps. Their solution was to give you a tablet and use Chromecast. And I don't think you can Chromecast Amazon Video. I could be wrong, but I've never tried. Because even just getting Amazon Video on an Android device is kind of a pain because, of course, it's not in the Google Play Store. You have to go through Amazon's craziness to even get it. So I don't know. I'm not sure on that. But
plus, I doubt that you can Chromecast in 4K at this point. I don't know. Maybe you can, but
you definitely can.
It's kind of weird.
You definitely can. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I guess I always had the Xbox One as long as I've had the TV. But, I've Chromecasted Netflix in 4K from the little tablet that it comes with.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I didn't even know that was possible. That's pretty amazing.
And that's one of the cool things about the Vizio TVs that you don't have to buy a Chromecast Ultra. Like that's, if you didn't have a Vizio TV and you want to Chromecast in 4K, then you need a Chromecast Ultra, which is $60, I think. Does that sound right?
No idea. Remember, I didn't know you could do that.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole point of the Chromecast Ultra. I think I'm getting the name right. Okay, so that's streaming, and that's a lot of really good options.
Hey, before you get off of streaming, I want to add one more thing. You kind of breezed over Vudu. Vudu is one of the services that has had 4K available for rental and purchase probably before most of the others did. They have really embraced 4K with Dolby Atmos, with Dolby Vision HDR, and 4K video. So really amazing quality there. And if you buy a 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray disc that has digital copy, most titles give you that 4K version digitally on the ultraviolet copy.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
And that's really important that you point out that with Vudu, it's always Dolby Vision. And of the current two main HDR formats, Dolby Vision and HDR10, most people say Dolby Vision looks better. So the fact that Vudu is using Dolby Vision is a good thing. It's a really good thing.
Yeah, it's a great thing. And that's what Netflix is using too.
Is it?
That's when I'm watching stuff, that's what's coming up. It's telling me it's switching to Dolby Vision.
Cool. Very cool. Okay. So the other option is, of course, 4K Blu-ray disc. And your options for playing these back are a little bit more limited. There's not many 4K Blu-ray players out there right now. Samsung has one. No, Sony doesn't have one yet, do they? And of course, the Xbox One S. And I think Panasonic has one. Does that sound right? I know they showed one at CES, but maybe it's not out yet.
Yeah, I don't know if it's out.
Yeah, given that it was CES, it probably won't be out until this fall. So, at best. So you can go that route. And of course, the quality is going to be as best as it possibly can be when it's coming off of a disc instead of being streamed over the wire to you. And there's currently over 100 4K HD Ultra HD Blu-rays available right now also, including, like, it's not just silly things like Planet Earth 2, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, John Wick, Passengers Again, Trolls. Trolls is a really funny movie. I thought I would hate that, but that's actually a really fun kids movie. Arrival, like, I might go buy Arrival because I friggin' loved that movie. And
so good.
It's on 4K Blu-ray, so I might just go do that. You know, so lots of really good options there. To do so, I guess the thing to really point out here is get yourself an Xbox One S if you don't have one yet, because that's going to give you most of the options that you have. The only thing that you're not really going to have is Amazon. And if you don't have a Vizio TV, then you've probably already got that through a smart app on your TV anyway. So we'll, of course, have a link to this article in the show notes for you to peruse all of his suggestions and other sources for 4K and HDR content. And hopefully you will find some new things to watch on your TV that you've been missing out on, because there is stuff out there. Don't let people tell you there's nothing to watch in 4K, because there is. There's a lot of good stuff out there to watch in 4K.
Yeah, there's plenty. It's just not coming from your provider.
Right. You're not going to find it on cable yet. As awesome as it would be to watch hockey in 4K, it's not there yet.
That's all you'd watch. That and racing.
That's pretty much all I watch anyway. That's that's all I watched this weekend. So it was sports. Okay, so let's, unfortunately, that's it for our video news. And as is fairly common, no audio news this week. So we'll move on to gaming. Not quite so much gaming. First, I want to talk about the new experience that is coming to people on the Xbox One. I am in the Insider Preview Ring 3. And I finally got the update. I think it was last week sometime. And Richard, I think you and I have some different feelings on it. Now, you haven't actually used it yet because you're not in the Insider Preview Rings yet, right?
That's true. That's absolutely true. I saw your screenshot on Twitter and that was enough. I still hate it.
So my screenshot was of the home screen and Yep. And you didn't like it. What didn't you like about it?
I still feel like it's too busy. And frankly, one of the, I think, best things about the home screen, they took away. They took away the live view of the active, like the last accessed active app or program, whatever you want to call it. And I thought that was really cool. You could see, oh, okay, this is what's going on. I'll go right back to that. And that seems to be gone now. And yet there's still all of this busyness around it. And it's still not something that I would put in front of a household of people who just want to use it for video, let's say, who want to use it as a primary interface for video, not necessarily gaming.
So you were correct that that active window. So, for example, like if you had a Netflix app playing and you were watching a video and you pressed the Xbox guide button and it would take you to the home screen, but you would still see the Netflix video playing in the smaller window, that is definitely gone. Now, one thing that I've heard is that when they got rid of that, that's what helped make going to the home screen not take a million years.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's absolutely what it was. I mean, TiVo has this very same problem. When you go to their menus, it puts a small window of what you were watching up in the corner. And that transition is terrible. There's always a gap where you lose audio and you lose motion, and then it finally comes back. And it's very jarring because of what they have to do to change that perspective. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand why it's not powerful enough to do it, but I totally understand why they did it.
Yeah. So here's what I think, like maybe not exactly what they're trying to do, but now that I've used it a fair amount over the weekend, what I've discovered is that with the changes that they've made to the guide, and by guide, I mean the thing that pops out from the left-hand side of the screen when you single press the Xbox guide button now, with all of the changes that they've made to that, there's almost no reason to ever go back to the home screen.
Hmm.
Yeah, which makes me not care at all that video thing isn't there anymore. Because now when like say you were in Netflix or say you're in a game, the same thing is going to happen. And you single press on that Xbox button, the thing's going to pop out from the left-hand side. And the main content section of that pane that pops out is going to give you access to that same list of recently used apps. So like, if you're in Netflix and the last thing you did was Amazon and the thing before that was HD Home Run View, those are going to be the things at the top of that list. So you can easily and really quickly swap between apps that way. You can obviously, just like before, go up and down and see things like your friends list, your party, your, you know, the current party that you're in. They've updated the achievements section that's all in there. And in that little pop-out on the main content one, above where it lists all of your recent apps, above that is a big button to get to My Games and Apps. So you don't need to go home to get to that anymore. You've got...
Just hold on a second. What is My Games and Apps? Is that the full view of all the games that have been downloaded or are available for download?
Yeah. That thing that you've always had, where right now it's a button that's to the right of the giant preview screen or whatever. It just takes you there. And then below your list of like frequently or recently used apps are all of your pins.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I care about.
Yeah. So you can have all of your pins quickly accessible from there, plus all of your recent apps are right there. Like, now I used my Xbox for quite a few hours this weekend, and the only thing that I could think of to go to the home screen for was if I wanted to go to that community/activity feed, which I almost never really want to go to that anyway. You've still got that one guide section over there, but I never, like, it seems cool as a way of finding content and stuff, but I never actually use that. So the only other thing to get to from there is the store, which you could probably just create a pin for and never have to go to the home screen at all. Now, of course, when you boot up the Xbox, it's going to boot up to the home screen. But once you launch an app, it's reasonable that you might not ever need to go back to the home screen for the rest of the session of whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's video apps, gaming, or any of that. And there's one, like, this is a really small thing, but it's one thing that I really like. If you've got a lot of friends, like, I joke that I stalk my friends on Xbox all the time, because if I've got my Xbox open, or even if I'm at a PC, a lot of times I'll open up the Xbox app just to see what my friends are doing, because I'm curious. Like, I want to know what people are playing and stuff like that. And when you go to the friends list, for people who aren't online, it shows you the last thing that they did. And for the vast majority of people with an Xbox One, it says, last seen, home. Great, thanks. That's not useful. That doesn't tell me what cool things they've been doing on their Xbox. And that may become a less frequent thing. And it's not a big deal, but in terms of the social aspect of the Xbox, it's kind of a nice thing.
Cool. Well, I'll definitely try it out when it's available to the public. At this point, I'm just kind of waiting for that update.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be super long from now, but it sounds like it's going to be further out than the Windows 10 Creators Update on PCs, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
And maybe what I could do is I could map the button that currently I use to get to the home screen to instead open up that sidebar. And I say map, I'm talking about using this as a video machine primarily, so I'm using a remote control. Maybe I could map that control to open up that panel instead of going to the home screen. And the home screen could be more of a, you know, like press and hold kind of thing. I'm not going to usually go there. I don't want anybody else to have to go there. And that would solve most of the problems in terms of making this access to stuff in this device just, you know, buried amongst all this other stuff.
Well, yeah, to get to home, like if you've got your Harmony with a button mapped to the Xbox guide button, it's going to open up the side panel. It's never going to go home. To get home, there's a home button in that side panel. So
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So that might be exactly what you're looking for. All right, let's move on to some other news here on the Xbox side. They announced yet another special controller.
At least more controllers.
At least this one isn't just a different color scheme. It is actually different. This one is part of a new series that they're making called the Tech Series, and this specific controller is called the Recon Tech Special Edition, because they have to sound like crazy militaristic, right? And this looks crazy militaristic.
Oh, this thing is hot.
No, it's not. It's horrible. It is so ugly.
I love this.
It is so ugly.
I love this. I think this is awesome.
Seriously?
Yep.
It's so ugly. It is so ugly. It's this ugly color of brown. It's got these like extra pad area thingies on it. The only thing that I like about this controller is the back of it has rubberized grips, so it's going to be easier to hold on to and more comfortable to hold. That's it.
I'm liking it.
That's it.
I'm liking it. If there were a package that came with this, I would have bought it.
Oh my gosh, it's so hideous. You never even use the controller anyway, because you don't play games.
It's cool looking, though.
It's not. But if you're crazy like Richard and like the look of this thing, it's going to set you back $70. You're going to pay a $10 premium for this hideous looking controller. But if you live outside of the US, you don't have to be mad at Microsoft this time, because it's going to be available worldwide starting April 25th for that $70 US or whatever the equivalent is in your non-American currency, I suppose.
All right. Well, if you have a charger from Energizer that you use to charge your Xbox controllers, you may want to check its model, and we will have a link in the show notes to the story about this. Energizer has recalled its Xbox One charger because of a burn hazard. So it's not that this is like, you know, blowing up or anything like phones or causing the batteries in your controllers to actually blow up or anything. It's just that it gets really, really hot. And apparently there's some cases where it's actually melted and expanded the side of the case itself of the charger.
Yikes.
So that's not good.
No.
So if this is something that you have, this is a really cool device. This is something you just sit your controllers on and it charges them for you. And it shows you the level of charge on those. Do check it out to make sure that you don't have this particular unit. And if you do, you can send it in and get a refund.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you should definitely do. At least they're not exploding.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially near your TV.
That would be very, very bad. All right. Well, you have the latest updates in the deals and games with gold. But before we get there, I wanted to mention something that I think is really, really cool. One of the things that I do in my job is help to make software that we build and design accessible to as many people as possible. And Microsoft has added text-to-speech and speech-to-text capabilities to the Xbox One and PC gaming platforms so that within games, what you're speaking can be translated to text to display in the side of people who might not be able to hear it, and what you're typing can be read aloud to people who may not be able to see it. So some really cool capabilities. One might ask, how do you play a game that you can't see? I don't know the answer to that. I know that there are ways of making games accessible, and a lot of it is through audio cues. Right now, this capability is only available in Halo Wars 2, but it's something that Microsoft is presumably planning on rolling out more broadly. And I love seeing stuff like this to the entertainment space.
Yeah, this makes so much sense, because if you're not using voice chat with other people, but you still need to communicate, typing out a message can take forever with a controller. Now, they've got a keyboard attachment called the chat pad that's pretty good, and I've got that, but it's still not faster than talking. It's not faster than just using your voice and having something dictate that. And Microsoft's got really good voice dictation software. So I think that's...
Yes, they do.
That's really a really cool thing to add. And I hope that Microsoft is just going to make this something that's super easy for game developers to integrate into games. And, you know, I saw this story and I didn't think about this until right now, but I wonder if they could just integrate this into the regular Xbox Live messaging stuff. Like, if I'm in a party chat, why couldn't I do it there? Or just sending a message to somebody over Xbox Live messaging. I don't know if it's there because I've never tried, but it seems like that would be an obvious place for them to put this too.
Yeah. If it's not there, I think that would be a perfect use for it. Like you said, I think it all depends. Obviously, they control that, but the breadth and exposure that this is going to get is going to depend on how readily they make it available to developers and how easy it is to integrate.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So you teased that we've got deals and free games and all that stuff. Let's start with the deals. The things that you do have to pay a little bit of money for. We've got a new Deals with Gold and Spotlight sale this week. It's not very big. And the rumors are that that's because there's going to be a spring sale soon. The last 2 years in the month of April, Microsoft has had a big spring sale for Xbox games. So don't get too frustrated if the thing that you're looking for isn't on sale yet, because it might be real soon. Keep an eye out. And heck, by the time you're listening to this, it might have already been announced, because they'll usually announce it a week or two ahead of time. But there are a couple of things worth picking up now. You know what? First off, full game, Mafia 3, which I think was on sale recently. I think I remember mentioning this as a recommendation a couple weeks ago. Mafia 3, it's a big, huge AAA game. Came out last fall. It's half price. That means it's only $30. Like, I'm hearing from people, this is a 30 plus hour game. So to get that for $30, that's a pretty awesome deal. The one that I'm going to pick up, which I know this doesn't surprise Richard, it's not a game, it's DLC. It's an add-on, the add-on for Forza Horizon 3, the Blizzard Mountain add-on. I have been waiting for this one to go on sale. It's snow in Australia. I don't know if that's a real thing, but it is in Forza Horizon, and it looks like a ton of fun. It's half off, which makes it $10, which I think is a far more reasonable price for an add-on to a game like this. So I will be picking this up. Probably going to be checking this out before we record again next week for you all to hear my experiences with the Blizzard Mountain add-on. Really looking forward to that. Also, it's almost the end of the month, so Microsoft has announced the April Games with Gold. These are all games that you're going to get for free as long as you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber. On Xbox One, for the entire month of April, you're going to get Rise, Son of Rome. You remember this game? It was an Xbox One launch title back in 2013. Like, this is the game that, from the moment that Games with Gold got announced, everyone on the internet said, huh, I wonder when we're going to get Rise, Son of Rome. And we never did until April of 2017. It seems weird that it took this long to give this game away. Some people liked this game. Some people didn't. It kind of had the curse of launch titles. You know, you're trying to get a new game out for a new system. You're not going to be able to take advantage of everything. You're going to have to cut some corners here and there. But I've heard mostly good things about it. So, and I've heard people say recently that it is still one of the best looking games on Xbox One.
So I was just going to say, I bought it.
Really?
Because I did. I bought it because I thought the trailer was just visually stunning. And I wanted to check out what the game world was like. And I mean, it is a visually stunning game.
So you played it?
No, of course not.
I'm never going to understand you, Richard. Never. All right, so now the confusing time period. From April 16th to May 15th, you're going to get Walking Dead Season 2. This is one of those Telltale games. I have still not played Season 2 of The Walking Dead. I own it for 360 because I think I got it for free somehow. But the first season was great, and I bet Season 2 is also really good. And now everybody gets to try it for free. But if you haven't played Season 1, get it, because it's a continuous story, and I think you're going to appreciate Season 2 more if you've played Season 1. Plus, all of the decisions that you made throughout Season 1 impacts in some way season two. I don't know how, because I haven't played season two, but it apparently does. So just go and get season one, because you're getting season two for free. So stop being cheap and buy season one. You won't regret it. On the Xbox 360 side, for the first half of the month, you're going to get Darksiders, which I think just recently got a remake. So that's a little weird. And then for the second half of the month, you're going to get Assassin's Creed Revelations. Assassin's Creed games are really popular, but I've still never played one, so I can't really say much about this game. Obviously, they're both 360 games, but they're backwards compatible. So if you've got an Xbox One, all of these games are going to be playable for you for free. So there's no reason not to get them. Richard gets all of them. He doesn't play any of them.
I totally do, and I totally don't. Yeah, absolutely. So the other thing I want to remind people of is that from now until the middle of April, on Xbox One, you can still get Evolve Ultimate Edition if you're interested in that and you didn't get that yet. And I don't know if that's of interest to you or not, but that's something to check out. And if you're listening to this before the 31st, before the end of the week, you also still have Layers of Fear available to you on the Xbox One and Heavy Weapon available to you on Xbox 360, which, of course, is Xbox One compatible.
Right. B-Dog in the chat says, Richard strikes me as a Zelda man. That's hilarious. See, Richard strikes me as a doesn't play video games man. That's what he actually is. He buys these Xboxes and then never plays games on them, ever.
And I even buy games, too, as I just confessed today.
That's the part that really confounds me. Yeah. Okay, so that's it for our gaming news. Let's move on to some other general Microsoft news. Windows 10 Creators Update. We've mentioned this a couple of times. I think that this is about to be officially released. Like, if you're not listening...
I think you said that the last time we recorded together, which was a month ago.
No, that's not true. Like, I think it's absolutely possible that if you're not listening to this show live, it could be out. Like, that's how imminent I think this is.
I think you're wrong.
I think it could be wrong. Later this week or first week of April. You don't think so?
Yeah, I think it's going to be first week of April. I do not think they're going to make their first quarter March deadline that they were initially talking about.
Yeah, probably not. I think that first week of April is probably a safer bet. But either way, that's really, really soon. And we're talking general availability here, people. We're not talking about insider previews and all that stuff. Like, this is go out and get it for yourself, no matter who you are and what you're running it on. But would I recommend it? Normally, I would say yes, go out and do it. These have been pretty good. But does anybody remember the anniversary update? Does anybody remember Webcam Gate? Like, there were problems with the anniversary update. Problems that weren't, despite the fact that there are, what I see the other day, 13 million Windows Insiders. Despite the fact that there are 13 million Windows Insiders, not everything gets caught by the insiders during the preview releases. And last year, during the anniversary update, there were a couple of major things that didn't get caught until this release to everybody. So maybe wait. I'm not saying wait 6 months. I'm saying wait a couple weeks. Maybe wait a month. Unless you're, you know, really good at backing up and restoring, and maybe you've got multiple machines, maybe upgrade one, maybe not the primary machine. I don't think there's going to be anything catastrophic, but especially if you're thinking about upgrading like a family computer or something like that, you know, something where you have to support other users, maybe hold off. Maybe that wouldn't be such a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with this. And I was just going to say, unless you make sure you have a full hardware backup. And then, you know, maybe if you're that kind of person, then go for it.
Right. Yeah. Go for it. Let us know. Let us know how it goes. You know, I was going to ask you, Richard, what are the features of the Creators Update that you're most looking forward to? And then I remembered, you don't really use Windows, so you probably don't care.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that I'm using Windows for these days is for testing. I have a Windows tablet, and I have a Windows VM that I use for testing pretty regularly. And I don't know that I would even take advantage of any of the updates.
I think the first feature that comes to mind that I'm excited about, and this is so lame, but it's the feature, I think they call it night mode. And it's the thing that like essentially puts like a reddish filter on your screen so that when it's nighttime, there's not so much blue light shining into your eyes.
Like, not lame at all.
Yeah, it's not like, it seems kind of lame because it's not like super fancy and oh, like imagine all the things you're going to get done with this. But for your eyes, this is a really good thing. For your sleep cycle, when you're using computers late at night, this is a really good thing. And I use my desktop computer a lot late at night. In fact, 90% of the time that I use this computer, it's late at night. So I'm excited about that feature.
Now, next thing we're going to find is that suddenly a ton of Windows developers are falling asleep at their computers.
No, that's what music is for. Loud music. Yeah. No. So let's move on a little bit. We've got, you know, one thing that we've been talking about for, gosh, it must be close to a year now, is that there's been all of these rumors that in the spring of this year, Microsoft would have a big hardware announcement. And the expectation was, we're going to get a Surface Book 2, we're going to get a Surface Pro 5, maybe HoloLens 2, maybe something new, you know, and heck, the way that Microsoft does things, maybe even a Surface Studio 2 already, because they have refreshed hardware that quickly in the past. But it hasn't been announced yet. And it's spring, Richard. It's been spring for a week, more than a week. Why hasn't this been announced? And it hasn't been announced. But the rumors, and this is coming from Mary Jo Foley over at allaboutmicrosoft.com, she's still pretty certain that it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon-ish. But since it hasn't been announced, and they usually give a couple weeks notice so that, you know, members of the press can arrange travel and all of that crap, it's, you know, we're probably looking at second half of April at this point. Maybe the second week of April, as of us recording this. But if they're going to give them a couple weeks notice, we're looking at mid to late April here. And okay, it's not really that big of a deal unless you're dying to replace some old Microsoft hardware. Like if you're rocking a Surface Pro 2 and you really want to get a new thing, then maybe you're dying for this announcement, because they haven't done a hardware announcement, except, you know, not counting the Surface Studio, since October of 2015. That's like a year and a half ago. And that's when we got the Surface Book. That's when we got the Surface Pro 4. So it seems to make sense that we would get a Surface Book 2 and a Surface Pro 5. But Mary Jo Foley is saying, she's got multiple sources saying, don't count on a Surface Book 2. It's not happening here. Like, that's not to say it's not ever going to happen, but it's probably not going to be announced at this spring event if it does happen, which is kind of puzzling.
Yeah, I'm confused by all of this, because I thought, didn't we even see sneaks of what the new hinge was going to look like? Because, you know, of course, with this device, the hinge is of such importance to everybody. It's so unusual, it's so different, and frankly, it's kind of weird if you're carrying the device around.
I believe we have seen some leaks, but maybe that's why. Maybe they're trying out different designs and they're not liking any of them. And so maybe that's why we're not going to get an announcement of the Surface Book 2 here. Maybe they're just not done with it.
Well, maybe this fantasy that DigiTimes has come up with is true, and we're going to get a clamshell computer instead.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. DigiTimes doesn't really have a great track record with their rumors and supposed leaks of Microsoft hardware. So that's probably
of anybody's hardware, anybody's.
So that's probably not like, but they get all of this press. They put out these crazy rumors and leaks, and they're wrong so often, but they still get tons of press.
Wait, I know. Surface Phone.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sick of hearing about Surface Phone. Like, do you think Surface Phone is ever coming? Because I don't.
I think if they were thinking about it. I hope that they're rethinking about it, because I think it's too late. They missed their opportunity. They've taken too long, which, frankly, is what Microsoft does best. And so I think they've missed the opportunity to get something out that matters here. So I hope it doesn't happen now. I'm serious, because I think it will not succeed.
No, like, how could it? Because the operating system is in the mobile form factor is all but dead. Like, Windows Mobile, Windows Phone 10, whatever the crap you want to call it, like, market share is just plummeted to almost zero. Like, I think it's less than 0.5% at this point. So unless they're also going to announce some major change in the mobile space, which I don't know, it would have to be something crazy that no one sees coming. Like, it's just, it's not going to succeed. So why release a phone with that can't possibly succeed and have a name of a product that is successful on it? And you would just be tarnishing the Surface name.
Totally agree. I totally agree. They should not do this. I want them to save this money and use it instead to make sure that my guide data stays up to date. I'll bet there are more active Windows Media Center users than there are people who want or care about a Surface phone.
I think that's probably pretty accurate, actually. Yeah, unfortunately. So other hardware, HoloLens 2? No, we already know that's not happening. Microsoft announced a couple months ago, they're not doing a HoloLens 2. They're going to do the Microsoft versioning thing where they just come up with new version numbers that don't make any sense. They're going to do a HoloLens version 3 in 2019 instead of a 2 at all. It doesn't make sense, but whatever. So you're not going to see.
Yeah, this is actually, this is really interesting, right? I don't know if you heard her, Mary Jo's comments about this one, but this seemed to be about basically scrapping 2. That they weren't on target with 2, and so they've decided to not do it. I guess my question is, so what? That's internal. You can still call 3 2. Right. Like, why confuse your consumers about this? I don't understand.
Right. I mean, we went from Windows 7 to 8 to, crap, 10. Yeah, it's Microsoft, man. That, logic doesn't apply.
Yep.
So no HoloLens. Yep. I don't know. So maybe they just won't have one. Maybe if all they've got is a Surface Pro 5 and it's just Surface Pro with a Kaby Lake processor in it, like, maybe it's not even worth having an event. But I think they're going to...
Hey, just like Apple.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. But I think they still will, because they're going to want to have some sort of event to fully launch Windows 10. So there might be an event, but it might have almost no hardware. It might be 10 minutes on Surface Pro 5 and 50 minutes on Windows 10 Creators Update.
Yikes.
Yeah. Which isn't terrible. Like, it makes sense for them to fully launch a new version of Windows, but it would be unfortunate not to have some interesting hardware to talk about, because it's fun.
Yeah. I suppose. Okay, are we done talking about things that frustrate me?
I hope so. I hope nothing in this next topic is going to frustrate you.
That could be a good Twitter handle. Frustrated Richard. what frustrates me? All right, well, we tend to focus a lot on shows that have been canceled when we talk about the stuff that we've been watching and what we're interested in. And we've talked previously about the Renew Cancel Index, about this great resource for finding out what shows are, you know, how shows are doing, whether they're likely to be canceled or not. And the folks that write this thing are usually dead on. They are so good at predicting what's really going to happen. They've done something I think is a little different. I don't remember them doing this in the past. They've posted an article identifying all of the shows that have already been renewed for 2017 and 2018, and sometimes beyond. Like, we see in here, for example, that This Is Us, a show that both you and I have been watching, Josh, has been already upped for three total season. So up to season three, that's two new seasons. It will be going through 2019. I'm psyched about that.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's lots of good stuff in here. And if there are shows that you're wondering about, is this going to be out there? Has it been picked up yet? You can check this list out. We'll have a list in the show notes. Now, they also have a converse list of stuff that's already been canceled. You can check that out, too, if you're interested. But, you know, we wanted to keep on the positive side of things.
Yeah, and Richard, most of the shows that we really love have been renewed. Like you said, This Is Us is getting renewed. The Good Place. Why am I blanking on it? Homeland and what's the US? Mr. Robot. Like all of these have been renewed. These are the shows that we talk about the most on here. So all
Westworld. Obviously, we knew that anyway. But
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I mean, there's some that shouldn't be, like Fear the Walking Dead. Even that got renewed.
Yeah, I mean, that has a following. That's the only reason that's surviving. I just don't understand.
Yeah. And a story that sounds like we reported on this 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe, but a slightly new twist on it.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked a long time ago about how if you had ultraviolet and you wanted to convert your discs to ultraviolet, that there were a couple services that let you do that. And Walmart's Vudu service is one that let you do it. You could actually take a disc into the store and they'd give you a code that would give you a digital copy. Although I think most of the people that work in the store don't even know how that works. And
right.
They had this software that you could download that would actually check that you had a disc in your drive and verify that you owned the disc. And of course, that was really great while we all own computers that had disc drives.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Most of us don't anymore. So we ended up, in a position where it's really hard to do this conversion now. And Vudu's come out with something pretty darn clever. So their iPhone and Android app, and I say Android more generically because for some reason they're supporting all devices for Android, but only phones for iOS. These apps now have the ability to scan the UPC on the back of your disk. That's the universal product code, the barcode that's on the back of your disk. Note, the one that's the same on the back of everybody's disk. And just by scanning that code, it will say, oh, you have this title, and it will let you either for $2 get a like copy, meaning if you own standard definition, you can get a standard definition version for $2. If you own Blu-ray, you can get an HD copy, or in their case, they have this like XD or whatever they call it.
HDX version,
and that will be available for you for $2. But if you have a DVD and you want the HD, it will cost you $5. It's the same pricing that they had for disc conversion. The problem is you don't have to worry about the disc. You don't have to download the stupid software on your computer. You don't have to put the disc in. You don't have to do any of that. So what keeps you from just taking your phone and scanning every friggin' disc in the aisle in Best Buy?
Well, you still have to pay.
You do have to pay, but you're paying $2 for a movie instead of like $20 or $30, right? So what they've done is your account has a billing address associated with it, and your phone has to be located at your billing address or within a certain distance from your billing address for this to work. It uses the location capabilities of your phone to verify that you are home, basically, when you're doing this. And that's how they ensure that you're not just going to some store and buying every movie that you want for $2 a title. Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. There's other ways to game it, of course, and we're not really going to get into all of those because, you know, we want you to be ethical. But this is good. It's absolutely good because dealing with disc is lame, but, you know, you've probably got a bunch of them. So go and scan them and get HD versions of them and watch that. Like, there's Vudu apps on everything. There's Vudu apps on Xbox and your phones and all that stuff. So, you know, if you want to go digital, this is way easier Like just today, I'm kind of amazed that this happened today. Just today, I was talking with a coworker who said, at home waiting for me, a shipment from Amazon is a Blu-ray drive that I bought for my computer. And I'm going to set up Plex and I'm going to rip my movies. And then I want to convert them because I don't want them to take a million jillion terabytes of space. And I said, okay, that's cool. I've done that. How are you planning to do that? And he said, I don't know.
Exactly.
And I'm like, this is kind of hard. And like I said, you know, if you just want to rip them, use MakeMKV. It's great. And he said, yeah, but I want to compress them. And I'm like, oh, you can use Handbrake, but you know, I've tried that before and it takes forever. And I've I'm not very good at making, like picking all the right little settings that actually make it considerably smaller, but still look really good. So good luck to you. Like that's a pain.
Yeah.
How about you just buy more hard drives and don't compress them? That's
exactly,
my solution.
Exactly. And it's really funny that you mentioned that because today the Fantastic Beasts disc arrived. And of course, the first thing I did was I backed it up. But it also came with Ultraviolet digital copy. And I'm not a huge fan of Ultraviolet in principle, but it makes the stuff available pretty much everywhere. And so I went into Vudu and I registered it so that I got, in that case, actually their UHD version, because I can register when you buy ultra high def discs with Vudu, you usually get the UHD copy. Now, what's interesting to note about this service that we've been talking about, where you just scan your code, there's no UHD capability. So you're not going to be able to buy an Ultra HD Blu-ray and find yourself with a UHD copy on your Vudu account for $2. That's not available at this point.
That's unfortunate. Hey, speaking of Vudu, do you know if their Xbox One app supports UHD?
Yeah, I don't. I really have no idea. I should probably give that a try. Do you not have a Vudu account?
I think I do. I don't use it very often, though, so I'm not sure. I'm really not
sure. I'll give it a try and see if I can figure out. I don't know how I would determine if the content is actually 4K or if it's getting scaled, but I can give it a try and find out.
Mm. B-Dog in the chat says he doesn't think it does support 4K yet, so... And Red Star is saying nope, and it doesn't.
Well, you know, why would it? Because Amazon's doesn't yet.
Right. But they did just recently update the app, so I guess I'd kind of hope that maybe that included 4K. Okay, that's unfortunate. So let's move on. Let's talk about what's going on in our entertainment centers here.
Let's do that. So I have been doing a couple of things, and one of those things is, let's call it, preparing for Atmos.
So how are you preparing for Atmos?
Well, I've been looking at receivers, and John, one of our listeners, the guy who helped me get my TV calibrated, I say helped me, who calibrated my TV, he had a recommendation for a receiver that I looked at, and I'm like, it's awesome. I can't really pull the trigger on that yet. It's more than I want to spend right now. So I bought speakers instead.
So what kind of speakers?
So I bought Pioneer Pro Dolby Atmos reflective speakers. So basically these are front speakers that will be the front left and right speakers, and they reflect the ceiling channels to the ceiling from the top of the speaker. They actually have two inputs, and then the ceiling sound gets reflected off of, or the, you know, the sound from above gets reflected off your ceiling. So I have not set them up yet. I'm not in a tremendous hurry because I don't yet have anything to take advantage of those above sounds, but it's a step. And I am hoping that by the end of April, my birthday month, that I will be able to report that I have an Atmos setup. We'll see.
Cool. I might have to make a trip out there to check it out.
Totally should.
With your calibrated TV. That'd be cool. What else you got going on?
All right. So, you know, we've talked about Plex a lot, and I have my Plex account. And One of the things that we really don't talk about that often is a fantastic feature that allows you to share your library with your friends. And so, I have a couple friends who have access to my library, but they haven't necessarily taken advantage of it all that much. And I found out just tonight, in fact, that they're not able to actually use it, that it usually shows up as offline or accessed indirectly. And so the streaming from it is pretty terrible. Well, turns out that for whatever reason, my remote access capability on the server just is not working. It used to be green. It's not. It's red now. I don't know how to fix that. So I have to do a little bit of research to figure out how you get around that problem. I don't understand why it worked before, and now all of a sudden it does not. Now that, I actually want it to be accessible from outside. So not sure what's going on there.
So what I would recommend is, get into the web interface, go to your server, go into settings, and there's a remote access section. And yep. And on that page, it gives you some tips. Like, it'll say that it can't be reached, and it'll tell you port numbers and stuff like that. So maybe you had UPnP enabled and now it's not. I don't know if you manually did port forwarding and stuff. Look into stuff like that. Like, maybe just set up a port forward for it and just be done.
That scares me. That scares me. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's fine.
Nobody will get it through that hole. Don't worry about it.
You think someone's going to hack your server through Plex?
Who knows? We have people getting into your network through light bulbs nowadays. Who knows? All right. Well, meanwhile, content-wise, I've been doing some content cleanup. I've been trying to delete things that I don't intend on watching.
What? What?
I know.
Who are you?
I know.
You're the digital hoarder.
With Richard? Right. Well, I started watching a series called Conviction. It is a, one of these series where it's a procedural based on real life stories of falsely convicted people and trying to get them off and proving that they didn't do it. Cause that's the thing now, thanks to Serial. And it starred Hayley Atwell, which is the woman who starred in Marvel's Agent Carter, which is a show that I loved. And I think she's a great actress, and it got canceled. So I'm like, well, screw this. I'm not bothering. I'm not going to do it. Because it's not going to go anywhere. I'm going to get disappointed. I'm going to get halfway through and boom, over.
Well, good.
Nope, I can't do it.
I'm proud of you, Richard. I'm proud of you for showing restraint and doing the logical thing here.
Yes. Thank you. I deleted some other random things, but nothing as significant as a whole season like that was. So I have been watching some television. I mentioned that I have been trying to, look at some 4K content. And one of the things that I was watching that is 4K is Daredevil. So I decided to get back to that. And I was mid season 2. It's on Netflix. And I started watching again. When I start watching TV, it's usually like when I'm eating dinner. I usually sit down in front of the television and eat dinner. And I know that's lame, but I do. And
it's not lame. That's the American way.
When I grew up, we sat around a table and we had the TV off, but I don't know. Apparently that's not how we do it now. So this is one of the most violent shows I've ever watched. It is always bloody, and there is so much violence in this show, and I'm, trying to eat my pasta. And it's just, I don't know that this is a good mix. I need to rethink my viewing habits here for this one. But it's beautiful because it's in 4K and Dolby HDR. Hey, have you been watching Homeland?
Nope. No, because I'm going to wait until the season is done so that I can binge it.
Oh, this new season is so good. And I finally caught up on it, and I'm caught up on all my usual shows. Everything that I've been watching, I'm all caught up. So I'm hungry for more. I'm hungry for more Homeland. I'm loving this season. And there's only like 2 or 3 episodes left at this point. So you don't have to wait too much longer.
Good to know.
And As I mentioned before, I'm watching lots and lots of news. It's so bad that I'm recording it now so that I can go back and watch it if I miss it. Behind me right now, the news. I'm going to watch it when I'm done. Can't stop watching. Can't stop watching. And today there's plenty to get angry at because we had a completely partisan split vote on internet privacy. Oh my God, I'm tearing my hair out. Anyway, I have also been listening to stuff, and I don't really talk that much about what I listen to because most of the time I'm listening to podcasts and we kind of already rammed through all of the shows that we listen to. So recently, and I can thank Spotify's Discover Weekly for this. And by the way, if you're a Spotify user and you're not trying the Discover Weekly playlist that gets updated for you every week, you absolutely should because they're pretty good. And I just bought two albums as a result of this. I bought American Authors' What We Live For. If you recognize that name, it's because they're the band that was behind Best Day of My Life last year, a nice, happy, poppy rock song. And they have an entire album of feel-good power music. It's pretty cool. I like it. And then Matt Kearney's Just Kids. This is like 2 years old. I don't know how I missed this album, but I love this album. I describe it as Bon Iver meets Sam Hunt. And if you listen to either or both of those artists, you'll totally understand what I mean. It is quirky, quirky, quirky rock with rap going on. And not even really rock, more like, I don't even know what I would call it, more like folk rock with rap. And it's awesome.
It is really, I love Matt Kearney. I've been listening to Matt Kearney for years. And yeah, I love him. Great stuff.
All right. What are you doing in your entertainment center?
So I'm all caught up on all of my shows too. I've watched all of the recent Penguins games.
I was going to say all one show. You're not caught up on your show because you are not caught up on This Is Us.
I'm not caught up on This Is Us. I'm not caught up on friggin' anything. Yeah, that's it's totally not true at all. Just hockey. And I watched the Formula One race this weekend. So I'm caught up on sports, I guess.
Nice.
So that's it for the TV side for me. I also haven't watched any movies lately. But I'm actually building a list in my to-do list app. I'm building a separate list of movies that I want to actually watch because there's so many movies that like I'll see trailers for and then I'll never get around to watching them. So I'm hoping that by making a list, maybe I will. Like, well, I don't know because I don't have the list in front of me.
Passengers. These are obviously really important to you.
Right. Passengers is on. I added Passengers today. So there we go. So maybe I'll actually have some movies to talk about soon. Actually, I know I will because you know what comes out next month. Do you know? Come on.
Next month?
Yeah, in April.
On video?
Yeah, no, in the theaters.
Oh, yeah, Rogue One.
No, in theaters.
I have no idea.
Definitely going to be going to theaters this month. Come on, take a guess. You have to know.
I have no idea.
It's me.
It's you?
Come on.
I have no idea, Josh.
The next Fast and the Furious movie.
No way.
Yes. That comes out in April. I should know the date, but I don't. So, yep, I will be going to see a movie in the theaters this month because it's the Fast and the Furious, and how can you not? So, yep.
How did I not know / assume this? How did I not know this?
It's like you don't even know me anymore, Richard.
Wow, that's crazy. And of course, the only thing I'm thinking of, April, Rogue One. I am ready for Rogue One on video, of course, because, you know, I missed it in theaters.
Oh my gosh, you did? Oh,
I did.
Richard. Richard. Well, it's out digitally. You could own it digitally right now.
Oh, don't even get me started on that rant.
Because
I bought the disc. Why can't I get the digital copy already?
Well, I know, but okay, but here's the problem. Is Rogue One going to be in 4K? Because isn't Disney not doing 4K movies yet?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not in 4K.
I might not buy it then. I might wait until Disney finally gets their act together.
They come out with the heavily branded Disney 4K.
Right. Because I might be done buying non-Ultra HD Blu-ray disc. Like, what's the point anymore?
Ooh. Right?
So, anyway. things that I actually have seen or watched or played or whatever. Gaming. I think I mentioned last time that I had finished Mass Effect 3, was really, really excited for Mass Effect Andromeda to come out. It came out last week. And yeah, I didn't buy it. And I'm going to wait now. The reviews kind of had me thinking, maybe this isn't really exactly what I was hoping it would be. So I'm going to wait, hope that they're going to fix some of the issues, and I'll buy it when it's cheaper. And instead, I purchased Final Fantasy 15. It has not come yet. So I don't know. I don't even know when it's ever going to come. It's supposed to be from some random dude through Amazon, and it still isn't here. I'm feeling like this might be a zero-star review for this dude at this point. We'll see. But I did play one thing before I went on vacation. I started and finished an entire game in one weekend, and it only took me 5 hours. That game is Firewatch. This is a really, really interesting game. It's in that whole genre that's sort of jokingly referred to as walking simulators. Because there's not a ton of action in these games. In this game, you play, it's like mid-80s, and you're a guy who's like, oh my gosh, like the first 10 minutes, super duper depressing. And you end up taking a job as a guy who's going to spend the summer living in a watchtower in a giant national forest in Wyoming, watching for fires. And your two days hike from anybody, and you only have one person to even talk to for the entire summer. It's another woman who's your boss that you talk to via like a CB radio. And it's all about the story and what's going on. And like, you might think, well, what the crap could possibly be going on? It's a boring national park, but it's actually a really interesting story. And it's not a super long game. It's fun. Like, it's not as good as Life is Strange, but it was really enjoyable. So check it out. It's on PC. That's how I played it. It's also on Xbox. I did try something different to play this. Again, it was on PC on Steam. What I decided to do, I really wanted to play this at my TV. So like from my couch, because I knew this wasn't something that I'm going to have to sit really close so I can see all the details. Like, I wanted to relax on my couch and play it on my big TV. So what I did was I set up the NVIDIA game streaming on my NVIDIA Shield, which is essentially just remote desktoping into your computer and streaming the game. And it works really, really well. Now, everything on my network, or at least the Shield and my computer, are hardwired, so I'm not dealing with wireless and all that crap. And then just used the NVIDIA Shield controller to play this game. It worked flawlessly. It was a really, really enjoyable experience. Like, I'm not sure that I would play a first-person shooter this way or something like that, but for that type of game, it worked really well. And I'm going to be trying this more on other more relaxed PC games, because I would rather play them on my 55-inch TV than on my 23-inch computer monitor. Duh. Right?
So what did this cost you, this game?
Well, I played it through a friend's Steam library, so it didn't cost me anything. Okay. The regular price for this game is $20, but it's been on sale a bunch for like $12.
I mean, I just have to wonder, for a game that only takes you like 5 hours to play, is that frustrating or is that a good thing?
I don't think that's that. I don't think that's bad if it's enjoyable. Now,
okay,
if you buy a movie for $25 and it's a 2-hour movie, is that
wow? That's worth it? You know, that's crazy. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely that weird value proposition that you have to figure out for all of these things. But yeah. I think in this case, as long as it's good, yeah, I think that's okay. So that's pretty much it outside of the normal stuff for me on the gaming side. But a couple of other Xboxy related things. My Vizio M-Series TV apparently finally got updated, or maybe the Xbox did. I don't know which one it was.
But
I've been able to enable HDR on my Vizio, and I have not had any issues at all.
Nice.
So I'm not sure that I've actually done anything in HDR yet, but even when I wasn't doing HDR things, I was having lots of issues before, and none of them are there anymore. So if you've got a 2016 M series Vizio, make sure you've got the latest update, make sure your Xbox is updated, and maybe everything's good for you now.
I don't know the answer to this, and I should know the answer to this. Do you have some Ultra HD Blu-ray discs?
I have one. I have the Peanuts movie. But maybe...
Why did you buy that in Ultra HD?
Because I... Because remember, the TV was like a family Christmas present. So
yeah.
I wanted to have an Ultra HD Blu-ray to watch with the family.
Okay.
So I bought the Peanuts movie. And it's a good movie. It's okay.
I'm sure it is. I want to see it. It's just, that's not showing off your HDR by any means.
I don't know. But it's probably not. And I'm not sure how much the family cares anyway. But maybe my next one's going to be Arrival, because Jenna and I both really liked that movie. So who knows? I don't know. Anyway, one more thing that I want to talk about. Because I got the new update on the Xbox, that means that Beam streaming is now built in. So I messed around with that a bunch over the weekend, streamed, a couple of hours across a couple of different days. And it's really simple. It's really easy. There's not a ton of bells and whistles, and I think that's okay. There's a total of 4 checkboxes of things that you can enable or disable. And it's like, do you want to include audio? Do you want to include party audio? Do you want to have chat enabled? And maybe, and do you want to enable your camera? That's it. You check those 4 options the way you want them, and you click stream. It's super fast. It's really easy. I don't know why I'm doing all of this Beam streaming, but I am, and it's fun. And I don't know. Check it out. Beam.pro/Josh Pollard is the way to find me, or just look me up on Xbox. So I've been checking that out. And we should probably also mention, we've changed what we're doing with the live show tonight. I don't know if we're going to stick with this, but it seems to have worked okay. We've had a couple of problems, but we're using Beam to stream our show now. If you've been to our live show before, and you've been frustrated by the delay in audio from, when we're saying something to when you're hearing it, and then us responding to you via the chat, or you've been here on a night where the text chat is just really slow for some reason, none of that's been a problem at all now that we've switched to using Beam. Plus, we're doing video, which is kind of cool. Maybe we'll stick with that. I don't know. So there's only one downside, and that is, and this is one of the reasons why we haven't switched to something like this in the past, and that is, you do have to have a Beam account if you want to talk in the chat room. And Richard had an issue setting that up. I didn't. I tried setting up a couple of different accounts and didn't have any issues. And we've got some people in the chat who I don't think had Beam accounts until tonight. So maybe you won't have problems. Maybe you will. Let us know. And hopefully we'll see you next week to check that out. If we stick with this, because I think it's working out okay. All right, that's it for me. Let's get into how you can get a hold of us outside of being here for the live show, and that would be Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at Digi Media Zone, DIGI Media Zone. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDMZ. We're on Google Plus. We've got an email address. It's entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. We've also got another podcast for you to listen to. If you're into home automation and home control news, the best podcast available on the internet for those topics is done by none other than Richard Gunther. And you just released an episode.
Wow, way to put the bar up there. Thank you very much. Well, yeah, and I was really excited to have our friend Dave McCabe, the host of Reset, and people might also know him from Home Server Show and Geeks Network. He had a problem that he was talking about recently on his show with his DIY security stuff, and he wanted to talk about it. Well, I kind of lured him into the conversation to talk about it. And I think it was a great discussion about things you need to think about if you want to kind of build your own DIY security system. It's not for everybody, but it's something that you could do with your home automation system. And coming up, we have product manager Yuba Milkovich from Automatic. He's going to be talking with us about how your car fits into your connected home. So that should be a very interesting conversation.
Very cool. Very cool. And that recent episode with Dave McCabe, another excellent episode. Loved it. If you like any of our shows, you can help us out by leaving us a review over on iTunes. That helps us out a ton, and we really appreciate it. If you're not an iTunes user, we're all over the place. You can find us on Pocket Cast, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts. And then, like I mentioned, we do record the show live for you to participate while we're doing the show. That's usually Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. It's not always that time, though. So your best bet, follow us on Twitter, because we're always tweeting about when the show will be live, because sometimes it's Tuesdays, sometimes it's Wednesdays. Who knows? Just follow us on Twitter and you'll know for sure. And come and join us, because, hey, this new live show, it's a lot of fun. It's working well. Come and check it out. But that's going to do it for episode 401. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther. And we'll be back next time for episode 402. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.